Brotherhood of the Seven Rays, Lemuria. By Brother Philip. The origin of the Brotherhood of the Seven Rays. Lemuria is the name for the last part of the great Pacific continent of Mu. The actual destruction of Mu and its submergence began before 30,000 BC. This action continued for many thousands of years until the final portion of old Mu known as Lemuria was also submerged in a series of new disasters that were terminated between 10,000 and 12,000 BC. This occurred just prior to the destruction of Posidonis, the last remnant of the Atlantic continent, Atlantis. Lord Aramumuru, God Muru, was one of the great Lemurian sages and the keeper of the scrolls during the last days of doomed Mu. It was well known to the masters of Lemuria that a final catastrophe would cause gigantic tidal waves to take the last of their land down into the angry sea and oblivion. Those working on the left-hand path continued diabolic experiments and heeded not the handwriting on the wall, just as today, on Earth, millions of inhabitants are continuing to eat, drink, and be merry, even though the signs of the times are clearly discerned by the true people of the Infinite Father. The masters and saints working on the right-hand path began to collect the precious records and documents from the libraries of Lemuria. Each master was chosen by the Council of the Great White Hierarchy to go to a different section of the world, where, in safety, he could set up a school of the ancient and arcane wisdom. This was to preserve the scientific and spiritual knowledge of the past. At first, for many thousands of years, these schools were to remain a mystery to the inhabitants of the world. Their teachings and meetings were to be secret. Hence, they are called even today mystery schools or the Shangri-Las of Earth. Lord Muru, as one of the teachers of Lemuria, was delegated by the hierarchy to take the sacred scrolls in his possession along with the enormous golden disk of the sun to the mountainous area of a newly formed lake in what is now South America. Here he would guard and sustain the focus of the illumination flame. The disk of the sun was kept in the great temple of divine light in Lemuria and was not merely an object of ritual and adoration, nor did it serve that single purpose later when it was used by the high priests of the sun amongst the Incas of Peru. Aramumuru journeyed to the new land in one of the Silver Needle airships of the time. While the final portions of the former continent were breaking up in the Pacific Ocean, terrible catastrophe was taking place all over the earth. The Andean range of mountains was born at this time, and disfigured the west coast of South America. The ancient city of Tiahuanaco, Bolivia, was at that time a great seaport and a Lemurian Empire colonial city of magnificence and importance to the motherland. During the ensuing cataclysms it was raised from sea level and a mild, tropical climate to high on a barren, wind-swept plain and a frigid Arctic-like climate. Before this took place, there had been no Lake Titicaca, which is now the highest navigable lake in the world, over 12,000 feet above sea level. So, it was to a newly formed lake that Lord Muru arrived from sunken Lemuria. Here, now known as Lago Titicaca, the monastery of the Brotherhood of the Seven Rays came into being, organized and perpetuated by Aramumuru. This monastery, which was to be the home of the Brotherhood throughout all ages on Earth, was placed in an immense valley that had been created during the days of the birth of the Andes, and was a strange child of nature in that its exact disposition and altitude gave it a warm, semi-tropical climate where fruits and nuts could grow to phenomenal size. Here, on top of ruins that had once been at sea level, like the city of Tiahuanaco, Lord Muru had the monastery constructed of gigantic blocks of stone cut only by the energy of primary light force. This cyclopean structure is the same today as it was then, and continues to be a repository of Lemurian science, culture, and arcane knowledge. The other masters of Lemuria, the lost continent, journeyed to other parts of the world and also set up mystery schools, so that mankind would have throughout all time on Earth the secret knowledge hidden away, not lost, but hidden, until the children of Earth had spiritually progressed to study again and to use the divine truths. The secret science of Adoma, Atlantis, and other highly advanced world civilizations is to be found today in the libraries of these schools, to these civilizations also sent out wise men to found inner retreats and sanctuaries throughout the world. Such retreats were under the direct guidance and guardianship of the Great White Brotherhood, the hierarchy of Earth's spiritual mentors. The Valley of the Monastery of the Brotherhood of the Seven Rays is known as the Valley of the Blue Moon and is located high in the Andes Mountains on the northern, Peruvian side of Lake Titicaca. Lord Meru did not immediately set up the monastery on his arrival at Lake Titicaca, but he wandered for many years, studying and fasting in the wilderness, where he was joined by others who had escaped the catastrophes. He was originally accompanied by his feminine aspect, Aramamara, Goddess Meru, when he departed from Lemuria in the needle-like airship. These were not spacecraft, but were used by the motherland for trade between the colonies. The Brotherhood of the Seven Rays had known existence countless ages before during the time of the Elder Race upon the Earth about 1 billion years ago. However, it had never before had a monastery where students of life, highly advanced on the great path of initiation, could come together in spiritual harmony to blend the flow of their life streams. Each student came into existence on one of the seven great rays of life, as we all do, and these rays were to be blended by each student weaving his, or her, ray, as if it were a colored thread, into the tapestry which symbolized the spiritual life of the monastery. Therefore, it was called the Brotherhood of the Seven Rays, also known as the Brotherhood of Illumination. The Golden Sun Disc of Mu. To post the Golden Sun Disc of Mu, held by ropes of pure gold in a shrine in the greatest temple of divine light of the motherland of Mu, was the gigantic golden disc of the sun. Day before it, on an altar, which was a pillar carved out of solid stone, there blazed the eternal white light of the crystalline Maxine flame, the divine limitless light of creation. About 30,000 BC the Maxine light went out on the altar because of the evil of some of the priests scientists of Great Mu. The sun disk remained in its shrine, however, until the time of the final destruction and submergence of 1012,000 BC. As we said before, this disk was not merely used as an object of adoration, nor was it the symbolic representation of our solar Sunday. It was also a scientific instrument, and the secret of its power came originally out of the dim past in the time of the Elder Race. In part, it was an object of adoration because it served in ritualistic temple services as a focus or point of concentration for those meditating. It also served as a symbolic representation of the Great Central, or Cosmic Sun, which, in turn, symbolizes the Creator. As a scientific instrument, it was used in connection with a complex system of mirrors of pure gold, reflectors and lenses to produce healing in the bodies of those who were inside the Temple of Light. Indeed, that is why it was called Temple of Divine Light. Besides all these functions, the sun disk was a focal point for concentration of a dimensional quality. When the disk was struck by a priest scientist, who understood its operation, it would set certain vibratory conditions which could even bring about great earthquakes and, if continued long enough, might bring about a change in the rotation of the Earth itself. When attuned to a person's particular frequency pattern, it could transport this person wherever he wished to go merely by the mental picture he created. It was, therefore, an object of transportation. The golden sun disk of Mu was not made of ordinary gold, but was transmuted gold, and unusual in its qualities in that it was a translucent metal similar, evidently, to the metal you can almost look through of the UFOs. Lord Meru brought this disc with him when he journeyed to Lake Titicaca, and it was placed in a subterranean temple at the Monastery of the Brotherhood of the Seven Rays. Here, it was used not only by the students of life daily, but also by the masters and saints from the mystery schools throughout the world, so that they might be teleported back and forth to sit in council or to partake of some transmission ceremony. When the Incas came to Peru, and come they did, for they were not native Quechua Indians, but came from a land across the Pacific, they established a highly spiritual society on top of the ruins of the great culture that had belonged to the colonial empire of Lemuria. The high priests of the Sun of Tahuantinsuyo, the name of the Inca Empire, built their Quiriquinchu or Temple of the Sun exactly on top of an older structure dating from very remote times. From ancient records in their homeland across the Pacific, they learned of the Golden Sun Disk of Mu, and they knew it had been removed from the doomed continents and taken to a new land where Lord Nuri had founded an inner retreat or sanctuary. Once in Peru, the Incan high priests searched long for the disk but were never able to locate it. However, when they had reached the place on the spiritual pathway where they could use the disk to the benefit of all their people, the native indigenous tribes they had amalgamated into an empire as it had been used on Mu, then it was presented to them for their daily use in their Temple of the Sun at Cuzco. The Inca emperor at the time was a divine mystic or saint, and he made a pilgrimage to the monastery at Lake Titicaca, and there Aramumuru, as spiritual head or abbot of the brotherhood, gave the disk to the emperor. Several brothers from the lake were directed to journey with him to the capital of the empire, Cuzco. Here the disk was placed in a shrine that had been prepared for it, and it was secured with golden ropes as it had been held in ancient Lemuria. Even today, the holes through which these ropes passed can be seen at the convent of Santo Domingo in Cuzco, which is built on top of the pre-Inca and Inca Sun Temple. The Incas called their Temple of the Sun Caricancha, which means place of gold or garden of gold. This was because of the magnificent, solid gold, life-size figures of men, animals, plants and flowers that were placed in a real garden of gold adjacent to the Sun Temple. But the priest scientists called the temple Amarukincha. On some of the stones at Santo Domingo today you can still see carved serpents, Amarus, and that is the reason, they say, that some knew the temple as Amarukincha, or place of the serpents. However, that is not the real reason. Amaru is a form of Aramu, which is one of the names of Lord Maru. There are large snakes in the Andes which are still called Amares. Lord Maru's name concerns a snake because his title is similar to that of another world teacher, Quetzalcoatl, the plumed serpent of the Aztec Empire in Mexico. Therefore, the Temple of the Sun at Cuzco was named for Aramu Maru, head of the monastery at Lake Titicaca, for it was he who enabled them to have, at last, the golden disk in their sun temple. Within this greater temple there were smaller temples or shrines dedicated to the moon, the 12 planets, stars, and to the 7 rays. The Brotherhood of the 7 rays became the leading force in the spiritual life of the Incas, and they learned the use of the disk from ancient records left by the wise pre-Incas who were Lemurian colonists. The disk remained in the Caricancha at Cuzco until word reached the priests that Don Francisco Pizarro had landed in Peru. Knowing full well what was going to take place, sorrowfully they removed the disk from the Cuzco shrine and returned it to its place in the subterranean temple at the monastery. The Spanish conquerors never saw it. On January 21, 1956, beloved Archangel Michael of the Sun gave an address at his retreat at Banff, in the Canadian Rockies. The following is an excerpt. Many of the temples used on Atlantis and Lemuria have been raised into the etheric realms. Someday they will be lowered again when man is spiritually ready to receive them. It has happened that one or more of the precious stones used in the construction of these temples have been put in the hands of a high priest or head of a spiritual order where they form a connection with the celestial hierarchy. There are several dozens of the stones from my own temple in the possession of individuals at various points on the Earth's surface today. The Golden Sun Disk of Mu is one of the precious stones referred to by Lord Michael, and it was put in the hands of the head of the Brotherhood of the 7 Rays, Aramumuru. The disk will remain at Lake Titicaca until that day when man is spiritually ready to receive it and to use it once again. On that day the golden disk will be taken out of its subterranean chamber and placed high above the monastery of the Brotherhood. For many miles the pilgrims of the new dawn will see it once again reflecting the glorious rays of the sun. Coming from it will be an undeniable tone of purest harmony that will bring many followers of light up the foot-worn path to the ancient gate of the Brotherhood of the 7 Rays, and they shall enter the Valley of the Blue Moon for fellowship in the Father. Excerpt from Secret of the Andes. The Elder Race. If we are really to understand the meaning behind the Brotherhood of the 7 Rays and the Golden Sun Disk of Mu, we must go back in time on Earth to 1 billion years ago. After the Earth planet had cooled, and was ready for inhabitants, A race arrived from out of space that was not human, but was of the race of original true man. They were called Cyclopeans, and are known in the secret, arcane knowledge as the L race or simply, the Ls. Before coming to the Earth planet, they traversed space following all the great cycles of time. They were Titans who rode the star ways, and they still do in another dimension of time and space, and sought always the best pastures of space for their flock. They were the first life upon the Earth and are the immortals of our legends, the God race or Elder race that preceded man. Some of the Elves were true Cyclops in that they had only one great central eye in the middle of their forehead. Others had two eyes like human beings, and still others had the development of the psychic third eye. They were about 12 feet tall and were male and female, but not as we think of sex differentiation today. Before coming to Earth, they had colonized much of what is known today as the Milky Way galaxy. Thousands of suns and worlds came under their influence. They usually preceded other life forms to a world after it was ready for habitation. Once they took up existence on a new planet, they attempted to leave behind what we can only call great libraries in their deep, underground empire of enormous cities. In these libraries, tiny crystal records contain the history of the universe, and are enclosed in a magnetic field, which at times, finds an affinity with some sensitive person living on the Earth today. The Elves were not exactly three-dimensional beings as we are today, although they were definitely physical creatures in a physical world. They had been attempting for countless ages, as a race, to achieve a timeless condition, that is, to reach a place where they could not only create by mere thought, but escape from the chains of physical existence to break the ties that bound them to physical planets and systems. They were searching for the great secret that would make them immortals, that they might march across time and the stars fettered by nothing. The Earth planet was possibly the last world they colonized in the Milky Way galaxy, for soon after their arrival here they achieved the power of creative thought. They conquered physical matter and became gods. They annihilated time and space. No longer did they have need of the Earth world or the great galaxy it belonged to. They were free. They had become true members of the Thought Universe, the Theta Universe. Actually, the Elves were not known by that name until they achieved this Theta condition. Before this, they were known as the Cyclopean race. It was their method of leaving physical existence and conditions that gave them the name of Elves. Through the secret use of the 90-degree phase shift, they abandoned the Earth and the entire galaxy and left it vacant for humanity. A 90-degree angle forms the letter L. Therefore, when we call them Elves, we are referring to a symbol of their race and not really to a name. Many words today have been derived from the name of this most ancient race. That is why they are called the Elder race. The words elevation and eliminate are clearly from this source. Did not the Elves elevate to another dimensional condition? Did they not eliminate time and space? If you will but look in any dictionary, you will discover some astounding things among the words that start with El and El. Then there is the magnificent word Elohim, and the 24 elders of Scripture. On April 24, 1955, Kuthumilal Singh, Master Kuthumi, reported, "Over the planet stands the great presence of the beloved Elohim, Cyclope. His radiation covers the entire Earth." Master Kuthumi is obviously referring to a member of the great elder race. Although, in 1956, most of the Elves were no longer on Earth, they still acted as mentors, and were usually the teachers of the Earth's masters or saints. We say most of the Elves were no longer on our planet, because some of them did not leave when their race achieved the Theta condition and conquered MEST, matter energy space time. Because of certain karmic reactions, a few members of the Cyclopean race did not pass through the 90-degree phase shift, and were forced to remain on Earth to work out their destiny, eventually to rejoin their race in a later age. In the meantime, they would act as mentors to human beings when the latter arrived on Earth. Aramu Meru, God Meru, was a member of the Cyclopean race. He has retained the same physical form for untold ages, renewing his life stream energy by polarization with his feminine aspect, Aramamara. For, as already stated, These beings do not reproduce as a human does. Lord Murray says that when he was on Lemuria he was a young student or man. However, he can mean many things by this. Perhaps he means young in things universal, and by man he can mean that he is of the race of original true man. Many of the wise men of Lemuria, and earlier in Mu itself, were Cyclops. We do not call them Elves because they had not yet achieved the Theta universe. All of these Cyclops left Lemuria and journeyed to other parts of the world. Therefore, many of the spiritual heads of mystery schools, inner retreats, were Cyclops who would one day rejoin their elder race and become true Elves. The Brotherhood of the Seven Rays had its original beginning with the Cyclopeans, since they were the first to manifest the seven rays of life upon the Earth planet. These beings projected from themselves a special radiation of energy which enabled the seven rays of life to be established on our planet, and without this, there could never have been a Brotherhood of the Seven Rays. Also, the Cyclopeans passed the seventh condition and entered Theta, the eighth or thought universe. The golden sun disk of Mu was not made by the Cyclopeans, although the principle of its operation and the secret of its power was to be found in the abandoned libraries of the underground Cyclopean cities, those sensitive enough to tune into such knowledge in the later ages of Human, discovered these truths and made the construction of the golden disk possible. Thus, the disk found its way into the life of the motherland of Mu. Let it be known that man on Earth will never become an El, but he will achieve a timeless condition as they did, for the present plan of the hierarchy is the production of a subjective synthesis in humanity and of a telepathic interplay which will eventually annihilate time. While man will not be an El, simply because he does not belong to the Cyclopean race, now the El race, he will conquer MEST, and reign as a true god, a son of the Creator. The New World Focus of Illumination. In July 1957, beloved Master El Moria said, "Those pilgrims who seek spiritual illumination and guidance from now on will be drawn to South America as they have been previously drawn into the Orient." To this end, the directors of the forces of nature and the elemental kingdom are making preparation toward providing a natural means of access to this hitherto untapped spiritual focus of illumination in the Andes Mountains. Information about Aramumuri's retreat at Lake Titicaca, Peru, was given long ago to those ready for such knowledge. The permanent ray enters the planet Earth in two places. The masculine aspect enters in the Himalayas of the Orient and the feminine aspect enters at Lake Titicaca. The masculine aspect has been prominent throughout all the ages of Earth's history. But now the feminine aspect is coming into prominence as the Earth enters deeper into the vibrations of the seventh ray. This feminine aspect entering the area of the Monastery of the Brotherhood of the Seven Rays will become evident in the future. It is interesting to note that culturally and otherwise Tibet and Peru resemble each other so much, that photographs taken of one can easily be mistaken for the other. But when we understand that these are the two areas on the surface of the Earth where the permanent ray enters, the explanation is simple. In further confirmation of the New World Focus of Illumination, Frasu Mangilo, a monk at the Monastery of the Guardian Angel, Wat Doi Suthep, Kseng Mai, Thailand, recently wrote to the Abbey, saying, "Asia is spiritually bankrupt. But you are in a region that has had its period or spell of dormancy and is now reawakening to the things of the spirit. South America is, more than any other land, the country of the future in every way, a land of spiritual promise." In March 1957, the Fellowship of Golden Illumination in Los Angeles, California, said, "The call is going out continually to all on the path of light to come out from them, the dark forces, and unite for the establishment of the Kingdom of Love and Peace." In June 1952, the Bridget to Freedom activity said, "Signs of the new dawn. New channels are being opened, not to substitute the old ones, but to assist them. Workers are coming to the front everywhere. Friends of the Great White Brotherhood are rising up from every direction. And no man can stop the onrush of this cosmic Christ power releasing the spiritual currents of the hour. They could not succeed, if they should be unfortunate enough to try to breast the currents of the new dawn. Moreover, Such individuals would perish under the very law which causes the return of the generated love they bestow, or the opposition to progress they foster. Never before as today, can it be more truly said of the spiritual leaders of the world, and of all the new channels, by their fruit, ye shall know them. Everywhere now, even more so than in 1952, channels of the Infinite Father's divine love and wisdom are being opened and are bringing to his people words of comfort and instruction for the days of catastrophe ahead. But we are assured by the hierarchy and visitors from space that the world is not going to end. Far from it. There will be many terrain changes upon the earth, yes. But recognize these great events as prophesied. For many years the masters of other planets in our solar system and in other solar systems and even other galaxies have been in communion with the master adepts or teachers resident on the planet Earth. It was finally decided in 1956 that the mystery schools of the Earth, operating in one spiritual body as the Great White Brotherhood, would begin immediately to disclose some of their age-old secrets and truths to the outer world. Commenting on this decision in 1956, Aramu Maria said at Lake Titicaca, "We shall not remain silent henceforward. Yet we are not opening our pathway nor our entrance to the profane, nor will the pearls of great wisdom be thrown before swine, for there are swine upon the earth and in the earth. But the planet shall be cleansed of these shortly. They are not yet worthy to receive the divine wisdom. We are concerned with the hungry hearts and souls of thousands, and we hear their hunger and we know within our beings that they can only be satisfied with the true manna which alone comes from our Infinite Father. Do not be surprised if you now hear coming out into the open, words from the Great White Brotherhood which is the hierarchy for all the Earth's brotherhoods. Now is the time for action. It is time for us to speak. And speak we shall, for we are now diligently preparing the way for his footsteps to be heard throughout the world. The kingdom is no longer at hand, the kingdom is here and he is shortly to manifest to all men. We have awaited this time with eagerness through the long centuries. Is it not then a time for great rejoicing even though some catastrophe shall come to the world? But through this catastrophic purification man shall inherit his godhood. Look unto the hills for your salvation that draweth nigh. Do not despair because of catastrophe, but welcome it as the agent of illumination and beauty. All shall be made new as it is written. Only the truth shall remain. Henceforward, all retreats and sanctuaries, the mystery schools, the Shangri-Las of the Great White Brotherhood shall work more closely together and open their doors to those ready on the pathway of light. Their secret hiding places will be revealed, but only to the student of light who stands in his light. The inner retreats have been, indeed, a mystery to the outer world. They have operated in secret so that superstitious and ignorant mankind would not turn and tear them asunder. They have preserved the ancient and arcane knowledge so that the remnant would inherit the spiritual legacy in the time of the new dawn. Now the trumpet has sounded, we hear in the distance the faint sounds of the seventh trumpet. The call has gone forth from the angelic hosts and we are now to make ourselves known. The masters and brothers from space will assist man on Earth after catastrophe, but they will not prevent disaster. In the post-catastrophe period they will land in great numbers, and the plan is that they will contact the retreats of the Great White Brotherhood where the remnant will be gathered together. Because of great upheavals that will take place in the Orient, students of life are being drawn to South America, where in the Andes Mountains the new world focus of illumination will be located. Therefore, the call continues to go out to come out from among them my people. The inner retreats must now speak out through their many channels so that the sheep of the flock may hear. The Brotherhood of the Seven Rays is working closely at the present time with the Brotherhood of Mount Shasta in California, the Brotherhood of the Royal Teton, in Western USA, the Brotherhood of the Golden Robe in India, and many other brotherhoods and orders. Of course, there is complete cooperation with all the members of the hierarchy of the Great White Brotherhood. Knowledge that was formerly reserved for initiates only, now is to be given directly to individuals outside of the inner retreats, and men, women and children of all races will come together at these retreats and will form a great spiritual and philosophical congress. The prophesied new land will, indeed, come out of its prelair and join with the hierarchy of the earth and the stars to mentor the remnant that will remain upon the earth in the days ahead. More excerpt from Secret of the Andes.